This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled.
Welcome to Reinvention Radio.
Now, here's your host, Steve Olson.
Oh, man, I am so excited. You know why I'm so excited?
Why not?
Do you know the name of this episode? Do you remember?
It's Reinventing Money.
Reinventing Money! What is not to like, I mean, about this topic? Reinventing money, I got to tell you, as a Jew, it's my single favorite topic. I mean, like, Morgana, you're of the tribe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Morgana's part of the tribe. All right, Paul, what's up, buddy? Paul hanging out.
I'm part of the tribe as well.
Are you really? You're part of our tribe?
I am.
Oh, man, dude, you
guys would get along. When I went and I stayed at your mom's place with you,
yeah.
And I saw the sponge that was cut in thirds or in half, I was like, oh, you guys could all have your own piece. This is great.
Hey, Morgana can attest to this. There's no fucking reason on God's green earth for you to have a 6-inch sponge. I mean, like, really, why on earth do they even make six? Because when I look at a 6-inch sponge, I think right there, there are 3 sponges. I think easily that's like a year's worth of sponge. Do you do that?
I was pleasantly surprised, though, that a third of a sponge still worked.
You know what?
It worked well.
It works perfectly. And if you get one of those double-sided sponges, the one with like the rough thing on the one side and the smoothie on the other, dude, what else do you need? Paul, you do that, right? You
cut up my sponges? No.
You're going to start now, though, aren't you?
I just never thought about it.
It could be our 13th commandment.
Thou shalt cut your sponge in thirds. Oh, man. All right, so we got Morgana Ray in the house. Yay. Hi, Morgana.
Hi.
You look amazing.
Thanks.
Do you feel as good as you look? Like, you look radiant, like you're rich, like you're glowing. Like, I mean, what's going on here?
Life is good. I am well-loved and well-paid.
Well, then, these are two really good things. So, Rich, if you had to choose between money and love, which would you choose?
One or the other?
One or the other. Like, you you absolutely could not have the other.
If there was a world where it had to not coexist, I'd take love.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're stupid. Paul, what about you?
You could always buy love.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right?
No, that's just renting it.
I know.
That's not buying it.
No, I hear you. I agree with you, actually. But no, I don't really. So, Morgana, what about you? Like, if you could only have one, like you could not have both money and love, which would you take?
I reject that opposition. Naturally,
yeah.
I choose love, and then I was broke. And as long as money is fighting on one team and love is on the opposite team, everybody's going to lose. You have to put them on the same team.
And is that what typically happens? I mean, let's be honest here. Most people who are broke, they aspire not to be broke. I mean, at least I think generally that's the case. I have yet to meet a broke person who says, damn, I really, really like the current situation I'm living in right now. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I will say that the people actually who say that they don't love money are the people who typically have it. That's like hands down.
Maybe in America. Yeah, other countries. There's so many people that don't have money that are still having a damn good time.
Yeah, I've seen people in really amazing levels of poverty in Armenia, Azerbaijan, Eastern Europe, Asia, who really have great families and happiness. And yet, they do need more money. They do need more security. Lots of money never made anybody happy long term, but the lack of money will definitely make you miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an interesting point, though. I mean, about America and sort of our whole relationship with money this is an expensive place to live. I mean, when you come right down to it, it costs, I mean, jiminy, between rent and transportation and healthcare and everything else. I mean, it takes an enormous amount of money. I don't know what the statistics are, but I would venture to guess to live in the middle class right now as a family of four, you probably need to have a household income of at least 80 grand. I can't imagine it would be any less than that, but Morgana Ray, you probably know.
And in California, Southern California, it would need to be multiple six figures.
Well, unless, of course, you live in like La Mesa or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
you're only
hoping America is kind of live in a state that's not touching water.
Live in a state that's not touching... I don't know, because, like...
I mean, as far as getting it low.
It's expensive.
I'm using generalized conversation. You got a lot of hope here.
We live not terribly far from Claremont Mesa. I drive around there. I've seen some of the houses. You could easily get a single family for 300 grand in Claremont Mesa all day long.
But you know that 300 grand is a lot of money to other people outside of our silly affluent bubble, right?
Well, that is true. It is very true. 300 grand and like
10 families.
Like where Barack's grandparents were in the middle of Kansas. Like 300 grand there. I mean, they're like fucking kings and queens right there. So, I mean, I could totally see your point. But, like, you go to the other countries, like you're saying.
When I was in Montenegro for, like, our... I think that was our
I don't believe that's the
wedding.
Politically correct way to say that. Is that how you still say it, that?
That's what they called it, Montenegro.
Okay. Gotcha.
And
for your fourth wedding.
I think it was our fourth. And it was this gorgeous fairy tale medieval walled city. And it looks like Venice without canals. And
wow.
I'm always asking how much it would cost to live here because
sure.
I love traveling and they would say things, and it was the same in Rome. It was the same everywhere we went.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Slovenia. Oh, it's so expensive. 900 euros a month.
Right. It's all relative.
Right. And I'm paying
which is a lot less money now than it was probably when you were there.
Which is like,
now it's like a
which
bargain.
Was basically 900 or maybe 1100 a month
mm-hmm.
where I was paying... $2,400 for my apartment, and my husband was paying $1,000 for his, and
right.
that's cheap for where we were living.
Sure, sure. So why do you think, I mean, there's obviously so many different ways we can take this conversation in terms of talking about money, and probably we should just take let's take two steps back. For those who don't know you, kind of give us the Morgana Ray story and how you became involved in this whole conversation
yeah.
around money and teaching and the retreats and everything else that you do. So give us a little bit of the Morgana Ray background.
Well, it's kind of the big cosmic joke because my great natural talent in the world was repelling money. I was the religion major. I was the spiritual person.
Repelling in terms of you didn't feel like you wanted it in
oh,
your
I
life.
Oh, I wanted it.
Oh, you did want it.
Remember, I'm Jewish. I wanted it. But I had so much, it really made no sense
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I would do everything I was supposed to do with the marketing. I had all these credentials, all these certifications. I had movie star clients with huge testimonials, and I was struggling to make $100 a month at the end of 2002.
So when you say credentials, you mean you went to school, you got
yeah.
the MBA,
yeah.
you got all the letters and...
I didn't get an MBA, but I did get an Ivy League education. I have 6 coaching certifications. I'm a master trainer of NLP and hypnosis and all sorts of crap. It's not crap. It's good. But it really, but it didn't, results didn't translate into making money.
Mm-hmm.
I was really aced marketing. I had people who wanted to hire me, and I had, it felt like superhuman powers. If I were an X-Men, that would be my mutation.
To repel money.
Money repulsion, yeah. And it really plunged me into a very dark despair.
Oh, I bet.
And what came out of that was I got really curious about what was inside of me, below the surface, below my conscious awareness, that couldn't be with money.
Mm.
And even though I was broke, and I don't actually use that word for lack of money, but my state of being was just so broken.
You were spiritually bankrupt.
Emotionally, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just felt hate. I felt like the red-haired, hated stepchild of the universe. And I wasn't crazy about the universe either.
Mm.
But I was still working with a coach who asked me a very weird question on our next session.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, if your money was a person, who would your money be?
Hmm.
And all of a sudden, I was seeing money differently than I had ever seen it before. And it was this big, scary, dirty, violent biker who terrified me.
Really?
Wow. I didn't know I felt that way about
Wait,
money.
Wait, can we stop there for one
it
second?
It was a biker?
Right. So, like, I'm
And
curious.
I don't have a problem with bikers, but
no,
that
No, no,
one,
I know. I just
right.
That was interesting that specific
That's who
thing
showed up. That's who showed up.
Because I got to tell you, from my standpoint, I'm thinking like Chicago West Side pimp. You know, like I'm seeing like that, like the green, like the lime green suit. You know what I'm talking
Give
about?
Me
like
my
like,
money,
and with like the cane and the hat, and like bitch better have my money. Like that's who I'm seeing. Who are you seeing? Like if your money was a person, who are you seeing?
If my money were a person, right now, or because I like where she's going with this more than where she was with it.
When you were in like your worst moment of despair and fear, who would your money be?
Like a, almost like Pink Floyd corporations.
It'd but
be
if you
big
made it a person
oh, yeah,
behind,
yeah, yes.
like Mr.
Yeah.
Evil, who would the guy be
like
behind
Paul.
All of it?
Like the
like
Simpsons.
Your
what's his face from the Simpsons?
Yeah.
what's his name?
Monty Burns.
Mr. Burns.
Yeah. Burns.
Yeah.
There you go.
You gotta love Monty Burns. All right, Paul. If your money was a person, like what form, figure, shape would it take?
A beautiful woman with herpes.
Not well.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'm still attracted to you, but I can't touch you. But I will anyway.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful, seductive, and diseases you and prevents you from ever having, like, loving, wonderful, unprotected contact ever again.
Just use credit cards from now on.
There's a pill for that.
I keep one in my wallet all the time.
Yeah, there's a pill for that, Paul. You'll be okay. All right, so we got about a minute left here before break. So, okay, so you just picture this big, huge biker.
Well, suddenly, there was, it was like, well, of course I don't have money in my life. I'm terrified of this guy. I'm pushing him away. And I only saw that when he was a person, so I had to get rid of him, replace him with somebody that I could love and want in my life.
Like a little Chinese dude on a crotch rocket.
No, so like a hot guy who was in love with me and wanted to woo me.
Oh, that's so
sweet. It was very romantic. And the funny thing happened is the next day, four people hired me at double what I'd ever charged before.
The next day?
Look, that's nothing. One of my clients did my process, made $40,000 the next day, did the process again, made another $10,000. Then I had a 20-minute conversation with her, and she sold the house that had been on the market for 3 years and hadn't received an offer in 2 years.
Wow, what's this guy's number?
Right, no, that would be more Ghana.
No, I know,
right?
I'm just saying, if I could get...
So you're kind of like that upside-down St. Peter people used to bury, like, in the lawn. You remember that, like, when the recession was hitting, where people take, like, a little statue and they'd bury it, like, upside down on the lawn, trying to sell their house? That's, like, you, like, personified, except you're the Jewish St. Petra. That's what you're. Ooh, all right. So we're on with Morgana Ray here talking reinventing money and really interesting conversation. We'll continue it on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
As our sponsor makes an appearance here in the studio, thank you, ladies, for sending over the wavy original chips. We won't hold it against you. You didn't send sour cream and onion, but we'll get that next time. All right, we're talking to Morgana Ray here as we are reinventing money. Yay! Oh, man, a subject that is near and dear to my heart, but more specifically, kind of closer to my nuts because that's where I keep my wallet. So that's like, I love money. The more money I have, I don't know. People say money can't buy happiness. I think that's just absolute, utter bullshit. I think money can absolutely buy you happiness. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I believe that the purpose of money is the freedom to focus on what really does make us happy, which is love, lifestyle, and legacy.
So it gives you the freedom
to focus on the things that will actually make you happy. Money in and of itself never alone made anybody happy.
Mm-hmm. See, it rents it.
It rents
it. It rents it till you get the other stuff.
I have coached multi-millionaires and billionaires who felt isolated, who became the targets of lawsuits, became the bank to their friends and family.
Sure.
Gold diggers. Napoleon Hill, with his Think and Grow Rich book, has this whole chapter on sexual transmutation and sex energy as a motivation for making money. But the problem is if that is your motivation, getting laid, then you're just attracting gold diggers who just want to use you.
God, I can admit that, and I probably should have read this book like 58 million times, but I've never actually read that book.
What?
So in Think and Grow Rich, he actually says that the more money you have, the sexier you are to people. So
you got
to
read just that chapter.
He says that sexual motivation is more powerful, more motivating, more attractive than wealth or fame or music. And I'd have to question whether it's more powerful than Beatle music, but in general, I think he makes a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I can certainly see how, like, all you got to do is look at that Anna Nicole Smith and that sort of thing. And, I mean, anybody at some point becomes sexy. I think if they have enough money, I think that's really just kind of what
talking
he's
about Trump?
Saying there.
Oh, would anybody sleep with him if he didn't pretend to have a lot of money?
See, now there's a really good question. And I don't know. There's also there, he not necessarily just talking about him, but people like him. I think there is something to be said for just that general sense of confidence that it's an air. I mean, like when you walk in with that certain air, I think it attracts certain things. And I think to your point, when you have that air, it probably goes back to the law of attraction then or something maybe like that in terms of like if you attract that, can you attract money?
Yes, you can. But I'm going to take a moment and not be so woo-woo. Money represents power.
Mm-hmm.
Money represents, in our eyes, value mm-hmm. and worth. So somebody who has a lot of perceived value, a lot of perceived worth, a lot of perceived power is going to be attractive to people who feel like they need that.
So somebody who doesn't need what that person has sees right through all of that for what that person truly is. So
yeah.
Someone who has confidence, who has money, is going to see that person, quote unquote, of power and really, I guess, see the person for who they actually are.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the world is perhaps blinded by that power and that money.
Yeah. And you actually don't even need a lot of money. You just need enough to feel secure and safe in yourself so that it isn't distracting you all the time. I've been coaching for over 20 years. The reason I focus on money is it is the number one excuse for that human beings give for what we can't have, do, or be.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes the boogeyman, the excuse, the distractor. Mm-hmm. When that's out of the way and we can focus on the real stuff, then we can see things clearly.
Yeah, well, you're jumping out of your chair there.
Yeah, right? I want to get back to the biker and the Fabio dude.
Oh.
Well, just because it's like that was the turning point,
Rich,
for you, right?
There's no surprise here that you're thinking about the biker and the Fabio.
Hey,
there's
come
no surprise
on.
Here at all.
Come on. It's hip right now. Just kidding. So that was the turning point, right?
Yeah.
You were saying you had, it was when you made the relationship with money, like money was a person.
Yeah.
Is and when it all changed.
A person worthy of love, regardless of cash and numbers. And that's a very weird way of looking at money because we look at money as an object and then we feel bad when we are treated like objects. When it became a partnership, I felt better and more worthy in myself, and then my circumstances literally changed overnight.
So is that because you were that way and it matched, or because you have to think that way because there's some scumbags with money?
Well, combination of things. And by the way, I've coached people with tons
of
money.
Yeah, and that's a good point because there's amazing people who don't have money, and there's scumbags, just shitheads that have a ton of money.
And there are people with a ton of money who are living a very high level of poverty because they are miserable and they are frightened that they will never have enough no matter how many millions they have.
Mm.
They're afraid they will lose it.
What do they call it?
Those are the kind of clients you want right there, huh?
I've coached them.
That's the scarcity-like mentality as opposed to coming from a place of abundance.
Making millions but working them. And I had actually a lovely client who already made hundreds of millions of dollars and was still worried that she and her husband would not have enough to retire on the lifestyle that they choose.
Wow.
Man.
I'm changing
my profession.
Perspective.
Yeah, because I mean, I've felt that way forever. Like, put me in front of someone who can't have a good day. Give me a third of the money you're spending, and I'll give you 10 times a better day.
Mm.
And
yeah.
keep the rest, since you're worried.
Now, you have said before, I guess, that there's like a correlation, right, between money and love.
Yeah.
So what do you see between the two? Like, what's the correlation there?
Well, money actually represents love on a very deep, unconscious level because our parents were our original experience of money. They clothed us, they fed us, they housed us, they told us what we were worth,
mm-hmm.
which is what money does in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So any issues that we have around being not lovable, not good enough, not safe,
mm-hmm.
is going to show up in our financial experience.
Mm-hmm. So are you, I just so I'm hearing you correctly, are you saying that if we have more money, we feel as though we are more lovable? Or what are you saying?
Maybe for 30 seconds, mm-hmm. but it's actually the reverse. When we feel lovable, when we feel deserving, when we feel worthy, when we feel safe,
mm-hmm.
we make far better decisions and we are more attractive to other people when we are coming from that place of feeling secure. That's very attractive to others. They want to hire you. They want to invest in you. They want, whether as hiring you to work with them or being a life partner.
Yeah. All right. So let's get some perspective here. All right. So, Paul, so you don't have money. All right, so, like, how does it feel? Because I know Wade, you know, I know Wade, and I know how much Wade pays you.
What gave it away? The hole in my shirt?
No, I'll just play it, man. But literally, I mean, here, let's look at it from this perspective, which is I find it hard to believe that people who have a certain sort of mentality around money can change that. Like, if you have this mentality of I have to be frugal. Right. Or I have to just, you know, like I'm a millionaire. It's like the Warren Buffett thing. You know, I'm the millionaire or billionaire, Jesus, who still shops at Walmart and still drives, you know, like Sam Walton the day he died. You know, he still drove like that old pickup truck. Right. Mm-hmm. So can you change how you feel about money?
You can change how you feel about anything if you have a good enough reason. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I have no problem with frugality. I was coaching a guy several years ago whose new money honey, this kind of sexy French lady, said, spend me on things that are worthy of me, like buying plane tickets to Paris for you and your son, but don't waste me on crap. Mm. And he made $1.5 million within 6 weeks.
But this was the... So, all right, so Paul...
What now?
Get your pen.
Listen
get your
up,
paper.
Paul.
Here's the paper, right?
You need to create contrast. That's why I start with what I call the money monsters. You need to, if something's not working, you need to dig down and find out why. And it has to be bad enough that you have a good reason to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's like a slingshot.
But like, give me an example. What does that look like? So,
well, I'm not following. In my experience, I was in a really scared, despairing place. And when I gave personhood to the cause, mm-hmm. it was a really scary guy that I knew there was no way that I could have money in my life if that was the guy. Mm-hmm. So I had to get rid of him.
And that was the biker dude that you
that
saw.
That was the biker dude mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. has been replaced in years since by Mr. Bad Date Dude. Mr. Like... climate change denier dude, you know.
So it's getting progressively less and less threatening.
Right. It's just the extinction of the human race. Nothing to look
all right,
at there.
So Devin, if you're listening, you are completely non-threatening, evidently, to anyone. Because like you go from biker in that mind. Because like Devin,
well, he's not my monster. He's
your
my,
money honey.
He's no. my human honey.
He's your human honey.
Yeah.
And that is actually your nick. Don't you have a nickname? It's like money. The money.
The money honey.
That is. But, your,
and by the way,
I love
that
moniker. That's
this
great.
Works for love. And I didn't know this when I started out, but I've seen this works for love as well as money. And I'm speaking in Toronto next month, and the woman I spoke to in March has come into, since our conversation, since she booked me to speak on her event, has been coming into a lot of money and a wonderful romance because
wow.
it's the same root causes for both.
So this is just a message to whoever is listening. God, we just asked Morgana Wright to join us here, and we invited you to join us here on Reinvention Radio and hang out and share your story. So we invited you into our lives and booked you to right. I'm getting the raining down of the money here. I love it. Oh, I can feel myself getting.
Are you getting
richer.
Sticky?
I'm getting something.
Well, it's the honey. Don't worry.
Is that what it is? Yeah. All right. So we're gonna have to take another break here. But if people want more information about you, where is the best place for them to go? And obviously, we'll cover some more in the next segment here. But for those that are just chomping at the bit here to get the money, honey, in their life, where do they go?
Just go to MorganaRay.com. Morgana is like Morgan, as in Morgan Freeman with an A at the end, RAE.com.
So MorganaRay.com. That's awesome. And you also have, you've got a book, right? Or what?
I have an international number one best-selling
right.
workbook. And one of my current clients actually had her first $250,000 month in sales
nice.
Using the workbook before she ever hired me.
And what's the name of that one?
Financial Alchemy, 12 Months of Magic and Manifestation. Find it on Amazon.
Find it on Amazon. Okay. And I'm sure there's links on your site. And
totally.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. So MorganaRay.com is RAE. All right, we're going to be back with Morgana Wright here as we reinvent money on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Thank you. You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the Series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
Welcome back here to Reinvention Radio. We got an interesting house today. This is a unique thing. I don't think that we've ever had Paul, Rich, me, and Morgana. This has never happened before. And this may never actually ever happen again.
Unless I do a better job.
No, are you kidding? We love you. The phone lines are lighting up. Are you kidding? It would help if I gave out the phone number, but I'm so like, I don't want like anybody calling in because we've got like so many questions and we're talking about the money monster and all these other things and
lasering
the break,
balls.
And right, and on the break we're talking about the one-eyed monster and by the way, for those gentlemen who are afraid of getting it done nowadays, Devin, like you don't have to worry about it, man. Like back in the day, like literally, like they would snip you and you'd open up and there'd be smoke rising from the sack, and it's like really scary. And those are bad memories. But that has a little bit to do with why I smoke other stuff as much as I do now. But now it's just a couple of lizard little, zzz, zzz, and you're like done. So, Devin, this is your money, honey. What would I be? I would be like your money something or another here, but I'm like
honey
your
badger.
That there you go. I'll be your money honey badger, just kind of coming from the heavens saying, Devin, it's not that bad, man. Go get it fixed. All right, so we're talking about all sorts of interesting things here as we reinvent
nothing
money.
Nothing personal,
Devin, with Morgana Ray. And and let me ask you this, because there are a couple things about money that I know for me, it's like, it's a little confusing because I don't think they do a really good job of teaching you in school, like exactly what to do. You kind of got to learn this stuff on your own. And I know this is a big part of your teachings and how you try to help people and thus your registered trademark around financial alchemy, right? Yeah. But with the R circle and registered trademark and that whole process that you got going on there. But for people who are really trying to figure out this whole, like, how do I deal with money? What are some of the ways that I can maybe improve my situation? You've got six steps specifically, mm-hmm. So maybe we can cover at least a couple of those steps.
Yeah. I'm actually, for years now, I've been called the world's leading relationship with money coach, like Google, Siri, Wall Street Journal, all this kind of stuff.
Alexa too?
I don't know.
We're going to have to test that.
Yeah.
We're gonna test that.
So I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not Suze Orman. I'm not going to go into that stuff. But for the inner game, you can do everything right. But if you have this money monster thing, you can get rid of it anyway. So what we want to do, especially wherever you are, like before you have millions of dollars that you can lose, let's clean up your relationship now so you don't have any inner conflict.
Mm.
And the place to start, and the reason I call this alchemy is because alchemy, my definition is it's the transformation of lead in human experience, the yuck, into spiritual and material gold.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step is to really get rid of what's not working. So if you're into law of attraction and positive thinking, bless you, take that hat off and go for victimhood here. This is your chance. The biggest victim wins because that gives you the leverage for change and not just money stories, because money, the root of your problem is not the money story. That's just the symptom. But anything that made you feel unloved, unworthy, or unsafe, the kids who teased you, the teacher who told you you were stupid, the parents who were not as good as they should, whatever, the divorce, the accident, wherever you have energy, really build up the feeling, the ick, and then personify that experience as if somebody did that to you and will name him your money monster. And then because it's a person, that's step number two, making the cause your monster, you're giving it personhood. Then you can get rid of it, because we human beings have the gift of having been in relationships and ending relationships. What a great skill!
So, all right. So, wait. So, step number one:
uncover the root cause.
Uncover the root
whatever's made you feel not good enough, not worthy, not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Step number two is now give personhood to that cause. Blame it on somebody, the puppet master who's behind every time somebody called you fat. You know. And or whatever does it for you, you know, wherever your pain is. And then step three is get rid of the bastard. Make him bad enough and only bad so that it's worth getting rid of this person, this imaginary person.
Interesting. Okay. And
now you got a vacuum and you live wherever you live, and we use money. We need to have money. So now there's this empty space, and we don't want any monster to come back. So we need to fill it with somebody better. So you meet what I call your money honey.
So that's step four, is find that money
honey? Step number four is meet your money honey. It should be like she's always been there. She should be her ready-made person. Don't spend hours deciding whether it's Jennifer Aniston or Angelina Jolie. She'll just show up.
Yeah, that's an easier choice, I think.
Okay, good. Step five is have a conversation.
Selma Hayek, Penelope Cruz, that might be a little more difficult. But yeah, that's an easier one. Sorry, go ahead.
And now that it's a person, you can, whatever your question is, you get to ask this person. Like I asked, what do you need from me so you can stay with me? Because I felt this new person felt so real, and I felt this guy's love. And I also felt, wow, I have the power in the relationship because we have bodies. We have more power than this imaginary person. So I asked, what do you need from me? And I got information. And then the last step, step number six, is you take that information and you come up with one concrete, measurable action, something doable that you can check off, and yes, you did it, that lets you know and this imaginary money honey know that this relationship has changed. And it's that sixth piece is the magical piece. If you want physical change in your universe, you need to take physical action, and that's when the money happens.
So well, give me an example of like what that might be in step six there.
Okay. This lady named Lynn Swanson years ago did the process. Her new money honey showed up in this white John Travolta Saturday Night Fever suit, which was ridiculous. So she kept trying to imagine him dressed in a different way, but he kept showing up in the suit. So I was like, okay.
That's a great
Loved
suit.
It when I heard that. And he told her to transfer money from one bank account to another, which actually does nothing.
Well, that's what the Church of Scientology does. I mean, they tell you to take... That's what
but it's staying about, in her account.
Ah.
And she had so much debt that she couldn't even meet payroll that week. None of her, the people who owed her money were paying her. And she didn't know what to do. So she did my process, met her new money honey. He told her to do this. So she did it the next morning. And on her way back to the office, she stops and she's picking up coffee for all of her people in the office, and she's checking her smartphone, and she gets an email from a client who is wiring her a very large five-figure amount of money that day that isn't due for months, wiring it all that day.
Cool.
It totally covers everything she owes, payroll, debts, and then some. And she looks at the timestamp between the bank deposit slip and the email, and it's 2 minutes.
Wow.
I know.
Jeez.
What took so long?
Oh, man. All right, so six steps in the financial alchemy register trademark process, and that's all very, very,
you
very
can
helpful.
Get the book on Amazon.
And, of course, Morgana Rae, RAE.com as well.
Right. And on my website, if you go to the number one on Amazon button on my menu, and you enter your Amazon receipt, there's a secret extra bonus for you.
Secret extra bonus. Okay,
just between you and me. Don't tell anybody.
Very cool. All right, so MorganaRae.com. Follow that. Get the book on Amazon. And, of course, I'm sure people want to book a call with you, or not actually with you, but probably one of your people and that sort of thing.
It's just me.
Just you. All right. See, you're like Obama. You're just accessible. You're a person of the people. That's why we love you. All right. So real quick here. What do you think? Money without love or love without money? Which would you vote for? Which one? Let's get it one more. I want one more vote.
Love.
I want to see if you had a chance to think about it.
There is more. You can have both.
All right. So your mind didn't change. Paul, did your mind change at all? Money without love or love without money?
I'll try love for a change.
All right. There we go.
I say love brings more money, and the more you love, the more money you bring.
Yeah.
Wow. That could be like, those are like song lyrics right there. Do you have a song? You need like an anthem. I'm working with a Grammy award winning dude right now. We're going to get you an anthem going. Be like a really upbeat kind of like not even like a candle thing. We're talking like a boom, something like we can all dance. You do it. You'll use it at your live event.
My Katy Perry anthem.
Exactly. Except you'll be, you know, actually more like not so crazy as Katy Perry, because you're Morgana Ray, and
yes.
It's awesome having you here. And Devin, go get snipped, man. We were rooting for you. don't hold out on us.
You said it's a laser now.
Well, there we go. But it's like laser. done.
Laser for the balls.
Oh man! All right, good fun. Thank you, Morgana Ray, for joining us here as we are reinventing money. Rich Ote, Paul, man, good seeing you, my man. Yep. We're Mary Goulet, who will join us the next time. On White Wade, Steve Ulsher will talk to you on Reinvention Radio next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.